Good evening, one and all. Yeah, I know it's halfway through April. Can you believe it? It's flying by. The weather doesn't know what it is doing. We had sort of 71 day and talking about snow on Friday. So I don't know what's going on. You just wake up. You have no idea what the day is. Every day is the same these days, where it is for me anyway. But talk about the same. My guest. Not quite the same, because when I first met this lady and first had her on the show, shall I say, because I did meet her as well. But when I first had her on the show, she was a she just done a children's book, and one of my kids' favourite books, I might add. And she just brought out the first one and then the second one of a YA science fantasy series. I say met her because on the shows, I'm not sure if any of you have been listening to the shows that long. It must be about sort of 9, 10 years ago at least, I think. We had the cards. One of the things she did when she got a grant to get her YA books out was she had to put on a narrated version of the book in her local town, which was Corning, I think, if I remember right, in New York. And they put it on in front for the town and stuff like that. And I went down, after speaking to them on the show, a lot of the cast and that, I went down and I actually helped out. Gave them the proper English accent, not the imitation ones they were trying to do. That's another story. Anyway, and I went down. Well, those are the days when my guest was a debut and YA author. But she's changed now. She's got a different title. I better introduce her, then we can talk about it. Because on the show today, I have the one and only Tina Field Howe. Hi, Tina. How are you doing?
Hi, very good. It's really good to talk to you again. It's been a few years.
It has been a few years, but you have been pretty busy in that time because you are now classed as Tina Field Howe, screenwriter. So we'll catch up a bit and see what's been going on, because as I said, when we first met, you had that wonderful Snailsworth out, which my kids loved, and we were just having the Elisa of the Fields and the Trail Folk of Zunacoon or something like that.
Yeah, if I remember.
I know, it's always having trouble pronouncing it. And the third book was in development, which I see it still is, but never mind. But then you went into more of the production type, you know, the film type things, and you've won several awards in that time. Special mention in the One Reel a Short Film competition, all sorts of other stuff and pieces. So you took that turn to go from the actual writing into the film world.
Correct, yeah. I discovered that I love writing, you know, creating cultures and creating sceneries, creating worlds so well. And I got a lot of comments that my writing was so visual that I could write movies. So
right.
I really started to look into it. And I found some classes that were great to get me started. And I continue to take classes. So it's been just 11 years since I started in the screenwriting.
Wow.
Community, if you believe it.
I was trying to sort of find when we first met. It's like 2009, 2010, something around that, I think. Anyway, but yeah, it time goes, and you've been doing all sorts, in the meantime. As I say, you've sort of some short film, mention at the Cannes Film Festival, Cannes Golden Plume Screenwriter Competition Official Selection. Now, how about that? That's not far bad, is it, eh? Was that 2018 or something?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
What was that, about 2018?
Yeah, that was 2018 when I actually went to Cannes for the first time. Well, I was planning to go back, but things have been a little weird with travel, you know.
Tell us, yeah.
So I didn't know that Cannes had a screenwriting competition, so I entered in it with a special selection, I believe, semi-finalist / special selection in that competition, so that was cool.
Bet, yeah.
I've also placed in the Stowe Story Labs and the Writer's Lab. By the way, I have to say, I have a puppy, and whenever I get on the phone to start talking to somebody, she wakes up and she wants to play, so I apologize for the yipping.
No problem.
Happy too.
That's good. She just wants to join in the show. This is all that it's about. Just, you know,
I think she does. She's awfully sweet. Anyway, so I'm taking a course now, a series of courses, and they're wonderful. It's like sort of like the next step in my development that I feel is missing. So I'm just doing those courses right now and writing a couple new things, rewriting an older script because I figured out a way to tell the story better. And it's like, you know, when you compare screenwriting to novel writing, it's a lot easier to write a novel.
Yeah, well, because yeah, I always think that, and we've had people who've gone both ways, shall I say, yeah, that's gone from screenwriting to write a book and the other way. I can't remember the name of the person. He wrote Cocktail and stuff like that. I can't think of his name. He's been on the show a few times, but he started off with the screenwriting and then went into writing thrillers, you know, sort of thing. So, yeah, people do go that sort of other way. But as you said, and I remember distinctly, you know, reading the book and stuff like that, you are very good painting a picture with words. But now, of course, you have to paint it. You have to sort of get the camera to do that and the constraints that provides. Yeah.
Right, and you have to be much more succinct. You've got to be much more careful about the words you use. Like, you have to use action words. You really don't get inside of a character's head in the same way you do in a novel, where you can anytime switch into their head.
Right.
And you can't really do that because they, you know, if you use, you could do it through voiceover, but if you use it too much, that's really frowned upon by people in the industry. So you have to figure out different ways of showing, you know, the actors or the characters, you know, emotional,
right,
interior. And also you can't be too prescriptive because some actors, they want to feel their way through the material.
Yeah, they want to become the character themselves, yeah.
Yeah, so I belong to a group and we do a table read every week. And people really pick apart, you know, what's not working for them. Now, you don't have to take all the feedback and try to rewrite your script based around it, but you do take away the things that more than one person says was missing for them or was too much for them or, you know, and you take all this feedback. Then you also get professional feedback, you know, before you start sending it to producers or even querying producers or agents and so on. So it's kind of like if you write a novel, I mean, at least this is what I found, people either really like it, you know, it's a good read, or they didn't particularly care for it, or it was okay. But in the screenwriting world, you show 100 people your script and you're going to get 100 completely different types of feedback.
Yeah, because it's not how you're making the characters. It's how the people are perceiving what's on the screen in front of them, look like, yeah, like their sort of 50-foot view, whereas on a book you're there right with it, part of it, in with the characters.
Right.
I didn't realize, by the way, that TV series Axis Prime, which you did a script for, was actually based on Elisa books.
Yeah, it's based on book one.
There you
and
go.
I changed the name of the planet, so it's about a teenage girl, farm girl, on an Earth-like planet who has to bring two tribes together in order to get them to fight this terrible mutant. And nobody could pronounce Shunar Kun. I thought I'd come up with this cool name that starts with an X, and nobody can really pronounce it. So I changed it to Axis Prime.
Right.
It does have a reason. It does play into like a future series, that title. So I took the novel, and it's not simply a matter of, you know, if you want to adapt to a TV series or a feature film, it's not just a matter of plunking that book into the format. It's a lot of rewriting, and there's all these points you have to hit, and there's this and the characterization and, of course, the character arc and all that stuff has to be in your face, you know. It has to be there.
Okay, well,
you have a maximum of 120 pages, but now they really like to see them more around 100 pages.
Mm.
So it's a faster read. So it's just Axis Prime, the TV pilot that I wrote, is a lot different in some, in many ways.
Right. Yeah.
It's told in a different order. I've left out certain things that, you know, because you have to have certain things in a pilot that bring it kind of to an ending, but people want to know more, you know.
Right.
And that's the whole point of trying to sell a series. So I have to go back and revisit that because it's been a couple of years since I even looked at that.
Yeah, because it's not just a pricey cutting it down. You've got to, as you say, it's got to be like the Saturday morning cinema. Leave the people hanging, wanting more. You know, come and see next week, sort of thing. You know, to get them there, to leave them perhaps even wondering, you know, what happened here, and make them ask for the next series. talking about films though and stuff like that. Your latest venture, which I know a little bit about, is you've been running a campaign to get a pilot version of for a TV series. Proof of concept. Yes.
No, that's okay. It's for a feature film. So, what I've been involved in is writing proof of concept films. So you take the essence of your TV show or your feature pilot and you put the essence of it, you know, a little bit about the past, the history, what the action is, who the main characters are, a couple of main characters, and what the future is. So a proof of concept, we're shooting a proof of concept for my action rom-com called Bridenapped.
Mm-hmm.
And I ran a campaign and raised the money and going to L.A. and we have a tentative shoot date of June 5th. So that'll be a fun experience. It's going to be like a one-day shoot because it's 6 pages. And the whole point of making a proof of concept is to use it as a marketing tool, take it to film festivals because it is like its own little contained story.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a way to get something produced. So we've been putting a crew together. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
We've been putting a crew together, and we just found a new director. And so we're going to get this thing going. We're going to get this out there.
So is it like, you know, you do a... It's not quite a prequel, but it's like a, I don't know, a snapshot scenario of what the idea is going to be. And you put that in a, into this short film so that people can sort of see what the overall idea is.
Exactly. So the term proof of concept means you're trying to prove a concept for a feature film or a TV show. So you make this short form film to introduce, you know, a couple of the main characters, the mm-hmm. situation, and where it's going from there. So I picked a scene that's got a lot of physical action in it, between the bride, her ex-boyfriend turned secret agent.
Oh, crikey.
And two kidnappers. So, and they're like just idiots, you know, they're just, so it's a comedy. So they're really funny. Everybody's funny. And so there's this big kind of scene, but there's a lot more that comes after that. So I have left the script hoping, you know, that a producer will want to see the whole feature script or maybe get involved with the feature film, actually, preferably.
Right. Right.
And then we'll be working on it. We'll be honing the script a little more because we have a new director. And, we'll be taking a look at it together, and there'll be some things to figure out about how to shoot it. So we'll make a shooting script out of that, proof of concept script that I wrote.
So when you do the shooting script, what's the term? I can't think of it. So, yeah, where you have little, like a storyboard.
They may very well storyboard it.
All right.
We didn't talk about that yet, but we may very well storyboard it. You know, it depends on the talent too that they can bring to the production.
Yeah.
You know, and if there's time to do it, but definitely what we'll do is, or what the producers and director will do, I probably won't have any input into it, which is fine. I'm the writer and executive producer, but they'll put in camera angles.
So right.
They can prepare.
Yeah.
So we'll shoot this angle. We use this camera to shoot this. You know, there'll be all these things that they add to the script before the day we shoot. So everything is figured out. You know, absolutely all the equipment that is required, all the crew that's required, and all that. And there'll be some stunt people too, probably. Most likely some stunt people involved.
Yeah, I was going to say there's a lot of that stuff, because just reading the sort of intro, you know, Love You Times a Million, she thought she found the one, but sometimes choosing the wrong love of your life can kill you. Well, I immediately think of the Smiths where the spies were, and then, you know, killing what have you, and, you know, the mind boggles, yeah. And I can see it being really quite humorous, to be quite honest.
Well, and what the bride figure finds out in this scene is the ex high school boyfriend / secret agent has been trying to convince her that her fiance is the one that put these guys up to the kidnapping. So she has to deal with all that emotion going on. And finally accepting it,
right.
And then getting herself back to the church, but not to get married this time,
right.
To get even.
So how, I mean, it must have been, you know, a long, hard struggle and process going through it. I know you've had a lot of experience now with the other bits, and as you say, though, you're still learning all the time. Has it surprised you, some of the details that you've had to go into?
No, I've really been working at it for years, so I don't think there are any more kind of surprises like that. You mean like just going into production?
Yeah, stuff you forgot you'd even might need, sort of thing. I mean, I know, for instance, you know, you had one producer, and then he was booked for something else, and hence why you got, you know, another producer and stuff like that. But,
well, that was director.
Director. Yeah.
He got booked. He started working on Topher Grace's new TV series called Home Economics. And so he was real busy with that, and now he's gone on to another series, but I don't know what it is right now. But you know what? In that world, it's very common for people to shift.
Right.
It's very common for an actor might not be able to make it after all. And they have to find somebody else. You hope it doesn't happen last minute. You hope that there's plenty of time to figure it out.
Yeah, you hear about that, don't you? That so-and-so was pegged for the role, but they weren't available, and somebody else stepped in and became a huge hit, sort of thing. So, you know, these things happen, obviously.
Yeah, it does happen. It does happen. And but other than that, no, I think that I've been doing this for so many years, and I actually have worked on some other projects with a producer. I worked with a producer on an animated project last year, wrote her story, and I've worked with other producers as well on projects. So it's something you just sort of roll with it. You just have to roll with it.
Right. One of the things I see you did was Beyond All Odds, the Cindy McCoy story. That Cindy McCoy. Now I've read that book.
The memoir,
and she was, of course, you know, the roller derby superstar, wasn't she? I think
right.
Australia. She ended up in Australia, or she ended up in Australia, or something like that. And I know I've read the memoir of it and that. So you worked on that biopic, did you?
Yes. The book was a memoir, and I used it for some of the background. It was written by Karen Mueller Bryson Cindy. Before I worked with Cindy or even knew Cindy. And somehow we got connected, maybe through Karen, I don't remember really, because it was a few years ago. And wrote the, I had to interview Cindy a lot for several hours to get more details about her life that weren't in the memoir, but in the memoir, there were things that just keyed my curiosity. So I, you know, would interview Cindy about those things. And so we had enough material to really put this together. And right now, that's the one I'm rewriting. I've restructured it. So it's a more interesting structure that I've given it. And I have some new things, and I'm taking out some old stuff that really didn't advance the story. So that's going really well. I'm actually almost through the first big redraft of that.
Right.
And that's what you do. When you're writing in the screenwriting world, you can work on the script, the same script. I don't mean constantly the same script, but you can pick it up every couple of years and rewrite it. It's not uncommon, you know, until it gets optioned or gets produced.
Right.
And other writers, if a producer picks up the project, options the project, they might bring other writers in to rewrite it. So you just never know. You know, sometimes you'll see up to five names in the credits in a movie, five writers' names.
Wow.
And they didn't work on it together. They worked on it separately and did different significant rewrites.
Okay, so different, and you get different point of views and stuff like that. Yeah, that makes sense. Right. Yeah. So,
yeah, well, the producers can change and want something different,
yeah,
because the producers definitely have, you know, buy-in to the content and all that. So it's not uncommon for you to have originated a script and somebody else pick it up and do a rewrite on it. It's not uncommon at all. And you just have to, it's just a part of it. It's just the way it is.
Yeah, because I know,
like, there's no...
Sorry, go ahead.
As I said, there's no ego involved. You know, it's just the way the business is.
Right, because I know, is it Robolution? Is that the one where it was, like, originally for a male lead and ended up with a female lead or something?
Yeah. Robolution, yeah. I originally wrote for a guy, but it works great for a woman with some chutzpah. She's actually a former Marine. And it worked really well. And when I wrote it as a woman, it gave me some time to put more kind of womanly moments in there, female moments, you know? So it's actually a very cool exercise to do that with your characters.
Right.
When you're writing your first draft is to... And I would think that writing a novel, you could do the same thing. You know, nothing is really cast in stone until it's right, you know, so you're really happy.
Exactly.
With it,
and
so.
There's a big increase over the last five or so years in female leads, in strong female you know, thrillers, detectives and stuff like that. It is, you know, I would say I get 2-1 almost now, the reverse of what it was.
Yeah. Well... What's interesting about women, and men can too, like men can't have become, I wouldn't say softer, not at all, but more in tune with themselves.
Yeah.
So there's this,
yep.
It's okay for a guy to be in touch with himself, you know?
Right. No, I understand what you're saying. Yeah. Yeah. It's not just the chiseled jaw, you know, the granite jawed, drinking, smoking, womanizing, you know, let's have a fight detective now. There's a little bit of conscience and as you say, getting in touch with themselves a bit more.
Exactly. And that really, you know, because there are more female characters who are in tougher kinds of roles, it allows the guys to have a soft side. So it's actually very cool because now your characters can be a mix.
Yeah,
you know, they're not stereotypical anymore.
Exactly.
And I think it's great.
Yeah, no, me too. I mean, there's a lot of some really good books coming through the pipeline these days. Really are that look at things from a totally different angle, which I you know, a more modern day angle, shall I say, you know, than the stereotypical side is. Anyway, it's been terrific catching up with you again, and you know, finding out that. We are. The time has rushed by already. I am telling you, it goes very quick. It really does. But it's great to catch up, and especially to find out, you know, what you've been doing, and of course what you're doing now, and you know, so people can look out for Bridenapped, unless of course the title changes, as sometimes these things. Yeah. So
I've written up two ideas for novels.
Right.
Recently, because I love prose. I love writing in prose. But
Well, I think Snailsworth's got to come back and...
I don't know, illustrations take a long time.
Oh, crikey, yeah, I remember the trouble you had. Yeah, with them. But they were beautiful illustrations. Well, they are beautiful illustrations, not were. Are beautiful illustrations. Anyway, what I'm going to do now, Tina, is hand the show over to you so you can tell everybody where people can find out more about you, your books, your films, and everything else like that.
Okay. Well, let's see. I'm on IMDb, which is the International Movie Database, and it's at imdb.com under Tina Fieldhow. And if you click on Bridenapped, or else just put Bridenapped in the search, that's one word, Bridenapped, it'll take you to the film's page, and we're fleshing it out, you know, with the executive producers and the, mm-hmm. and we'll be adding the actors and all that soon. And I also have a website. It's just TinaFieldHowScreenwriter.com.
Okay.
And I think, you know, I'm on Facebook too. If anybody wants to connect under Tina Fieldhow on Facebook, and I think, you know, that's pretty much it right now. Well, there is an Alyssa Books website still, but I haven't updated it in a long time. It's just Alyssabooks. .com, and that's got all the book and audiobook information on it.
Right.
So I think that's pretty good for now.
Well, Tina, it has been really terrific catching up with you and finding out what's been going on. Good luck indeed with the concept and everything like that, and let's hope we'll be watching it on the screen one of these days.
Oh, me too. Thank you. Thanks, Barry. It's a lot of fun.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Well, there you go. My guest today, Tina Fieldhow. That's TinaField, and Howe is spelled Howe. So Tina Fieldhow, screenwriter.com. That's how you can find lots of bits and the links to the other bits and pieces there. Talking about her early books and from the science fantasy to going into the screenwriting business and films and shorts and TV and everything like that, to this new concept of Bridenapped, which is just the money was raised to do this proof of concept, and that's where we are. So terrific, really is terrific catching up, especially as I say, I've met her and we've been on the stage together, shall I say, as well. Anyway, that's it for now. I'll be back tomorrow. But until then, of course, we've got one thing left to say. Don't forget.